Back with you again, as always, Thursday, May 23rd, 2024, on Connecticut Today, where I urge people to slow down, pump the brakes a little on a controversy surrounding flags and Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. Only in Bridgeport, blogger Lenny Grimaldi stopped by. He looked again at some of the biggest news in and around the Park City, while columnist Chris Powell had some thoughts on the biggest stories around the state, including recent statements by Connecticut Democratic U.S. Senator Chris Murphy.
Somebody maybe email me Paul at WICC600.com or even call here at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And maybe we can do it toward the end of the day today or tomorrow or next week. Can somebody please notify me again, either email me or call me here at the WICC 600 AM 107.3 FM and online, of course, at WICC600.com. Give me a call or an email when we can finally start acting like logical, rational adults here in this country and stop acting like every single thing is the end of the freaking world. We're losing our minds now over a flag that Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito flew outside of his beach house, a flag that's been around since 1775. No, it wasn't assembled just for January 6, 2021. This is lunacy. Well, he flew that flag. Well, does it have to? Can you make any connection between his flag and any of the legal opinions he's written? Well, you know, he may give an opinion on Trump's plea for leniency and executive privilege. All right. Well, again, do you know in any way, shape or form that if flying that flag is any connection to what he's going to think or write? Because in the end, what a Supreme Court justice does, what he or she does, whether they are a liberal or conservative justice, has to do with how they interpret the law. So can we please act like adults on this? And there's an interesting story here, and thankfully you have some cooler heads here, like former U.S. Ambassador and National Security Advisor John Bolton, who said it perfectly here. And John Bolton is no insurrectionist. He's no lover of Trump, even though he worked for him. But you have people now on the major news networks, among them CNN, trying to back every Republican or every conservative into a corner, into thinking that this is some sort of mass conspiracy. There is no evidence for that. We're driving ourselves crazy. It's along the lines of the same thinking that, oh my God, Merrick Garland, through a paperwork screw-up, tried to have Trump killed at Mar-a-Lago. It's lunacy. When did we lose our common sense here? This is from the Hill. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton fiercely defended Supreme Court Justice Sam Alito against criticism yesterday following reporting that at one point two flags associated with January 6, 2021 had been displayed outside of his home. Absolutely not, John Bolton told CNN when asked whether the recent reporting about the flag raised concerns about whether he can serve impartially on the Supreme Court. And Bolton is right here. Quote again, I think it's outrageous and unacceptable for people to take a flag from the American Revolution and say that because some January 6 protesters flew it, that's now unacceptable to fly that flag. Bolton continued, quote, I'd like to hear a Democratic party politician say that expressly. This is absolutely nuts. People are losing their minds here. The appeal to heaven flag, which has origins dating back to the Revolutionary War, but is now associated with Christian nationalism and Stop the Steal efforts, was seen flying outside Alito's New Jersey beach home in July and September of 2023. The flag was also toted by rioters at the Capitol on January 6th of 2021. All right, who cares? I swear to God, who freaking cares? Do we have any evidence, any inkling that this in any sort of way has affected or will affect anything that Justice Alito proffers or writes for the Supreme Court? Of course we don't. Of course we don't. But everybody is on a hyper trigger now because, of course, according to half the country, the world is coming to an end. Democracy is ending and we're going to become the Third Reich. It is absolutely nuts. We are losing our collective minds. The other report was that Alito flew a flag upside down his home near Washington. He said his wife hung the flag out during an argument with neighbors, but he did not deny its political association. All right, fine. So what? My God, we are it's on the right too, not just on the left. The right does it too. Stop being outraged at everything. Stop it. We have, and I like to say this all the time, we have lost in this country all ability to examine and deal with things proportionately. You know, coming up after the break, I don't know whether you heard it, because Lord knows the main networks won't carry it because they're afraid of the leftist mobs. Did you hear the way Patrick Mahomes, the, you know, Super Bowl winning, multiple time NFL Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback, and his coach Andy Reid responded to Harrison Butker's commencement address a few weeks ago at that conservative Catholic college? It's a lesson for all of us. I'll play that for you coming up after the bottom of the hour, and then you can react to 333-9422. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. You will hear in a few moments how two adults who hang out with this guy every day during off-season camp and during the season, at least outwardly, have a leg up on all the morons and the idiots on both sides who overreact to this stuff. I've got about 3 minutes of tape, about half of that from Andy Reid, about half of that from Patrick Mahomes, and you listen to that and you say, look at this. Here are two guys who have daily contact with this guy, a guy who's been compared to Satan and all this. I mean, my God. And they act like adults. But back to this flag thing. Well, could we please stop this? Who cares? He flew a flag. Oh, it's got Christian roots. Okay, again, let me ask you, who cares? It's called the Appeal to Heaven flag. Well, you know, they flew this on January 6th. Ooh, again, who cares? What is the definitive, what they call in science and research a one-to-one or a one-to-one or a one-on-one correlation? There is none. There is none. It's called a pine tree flag or the Appeal to Heaven flag. It was one of the flags used during the American Revolution. It features a pine tree with the motto, an appeal to heaven, or less frequently, an appeal to God. It was originally used by a squadron of six frigates that were commissioned under George Washington's authority. You may have heard of him, George Washington. Yeah. As a commander-in-chief of the Continental Army back in 1775. The design of the flag came from General Washington's secretary, Colonel Joseph Reed, in a letter dated 21 October 1775. Reed suggested, quote, a flag with a white ground and a tree in the middle, and the motto, an appeal to heaven, quote unquote, used by the ships under Washington's commission. Well, you know, there are different connotations to that. Now, who cares? We can't govern and live by connotations. Well, it upsets some people. Well, you know what? Life is upsetting. Deal with it. If you show me one-on-one causal relationships between right-wing nutcases and Justice Samuel Alito, then fine. But my God, we have thousands of illegals pouring over the border. We have violence in the streets. We have ongoing gun violence. We have fentanyl deaths recorded more and more in this country. And we're worried about a flag that dates back to the American Revolution. Well, you know, Paul, it's got different connotations now. Well, too bad. I mean, honestly, it's like both sides wake up every morning. All right, geez, it's Wednesday. Before the weekend is 3 days away. I need three more things to be outraged about this week. Help me out here. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Honestly, I want to ask you an honest question. 333-9422, 203-333-WICC. Do you care about this at all? Honestly. Now, having said that, being a sitting jurist or a sitting justice on the U.S. Supreme Court is an immensely important job. It is the height of jurisprudence, the height of the judiciary in this country, if not in the world. Are you losing sleep over a couple of flags? Does anything tell you that there's a connection? Well, you can anticipate any. I'm just saying, is there any solid connection that's worth you losing your mind over? The website, the blog, only in Bridgeport.com. Lenny Grimaldi is the guest. Lenny, good afternoon, sir, and how are you?
No one above the age of 60 should be allowed on the radio.
Hey, how about that Nixon clip? Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that great?
Isn't that amazing?
That's what I'm referring. Yeah.
So he thought that if you didn't run for the House by the time you were 40, you were too old. And if you didn't go for the Senate by the time you were 50, you were too old. Man, oh, man, how times have changed. Now,
No one who sweats on television should be allowed in the White House.
Yeah, well, that's remember that he was sweating and he had the 5 o'clock shadow and he wouldn't take makeup. Man, oh man, oh man. Hey, Lenny, before we get to some of the stuff on your blog, is something I just talked about, and obviously people, boy, this Success Village thing. Oh my God, this is, and yeah, I know the kind of hands are tied because it's privately owned, but what a mess, right? What a mess.
It is. I've written several articles myself, and it has definitely the full attention of the mayor's office, because every time I call over there and talk to my contacts, is been spending an awful lot of time on this stuff. You know, city council president, you know, Adi Nieves is really pushing, you know, some kind of resolution to keep the heat up so we can get some heat, right? Yeah. Some hot water over there, and there have been some rallies of regular ongoing discussions. I think, you know, there also has to be a long-term solution.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Not getting the bonus situation, because there have been discussions, engagements with Park City Communities that runs the city's housing authority.
Yeah.
And they've made some really major strides over there under leadership of Jillian Baldwin, the executive director. And there have been some conversations about the possibility of the housing authority at some point taking that over.
Mm, so buying it then from buying it right out then and running it.
Could be, yeah. I mean, I get the federal government involved, you know, as well, because Pittsburgh Housing Authority comes under that umbrella. But that's something that's a possibility of for long term.
Yeah. So, what kind of a price tag then are you looking at there? I mean, what?
Yeah, that's all kind of new discussions. You know, I don't know if it's actually going to go anywhere, But it's awful, and it's awful that this, you know what, you know, you're talking like, you know, this is affecting the, you know, 1,000, you know, families, 1,000 people, right? And it's also there's two pieces. You got the Bridgeport piece, and you got the Stratford piece.
Yeah.
And there's boiler issues over there, and you know, it's a real mess. You know, with the board that, you know, is supposed to be looking at the interests of the residents there. So there's also pushing for a change of leadership. I don't know if that's going to happen, but hopefully they can get this thing online, you know, sooner than later.
And the frustrating thing for finally on this, Lenny, the frustrating thing is, you know, it's not like we're trying to land on the moon again. I mean, hot waters, you know, I'm sure there's no shortage of contractors, Lenny, that would dive into this project and at least get something done short term, right?
So no foresight at all. That's the problem. I mean, I've run some images of the antiquated system there. I mean, this, you know, you're talking about Success Village. You know, it's been around, you know, 60 or 70 years or so.
Yeah.
And the system hasn't really been modernized.
Yeah, and believe me, I'm part of a condo, too, and I see what the things cost. Yeah, and, you know, you look up and every month, well, we got to do this. You know, this valve is 10 grand. This exchanger is 15 grand. I know.
Yeah, they've been doing patchwork largely.
Yeah, and a lot of times... You know, the patchwork is, you know, when you're doing patchwork on you know, Article A, you remember, well, we already did that twice before, so it's tough. It is.
Patches on top of patches.
Well, exactly. The mayor's state of the city at the AMP the other day, what was that about, and how do you think it was received?
Yes, well received. You know, it's an interesting destination. You know, Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. It's a wonderful place. You know, if some people from your audience haven't gone, you should, because it's just not a place for concerts. There's community events there, a lot of college and high school graduations. And what you've seen in the last couple of years is the mayor has had his state of the city to the business community at the amphitheater. And it's, you know, some people want to go because they want to go to the amp because it's a nice time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, his speech was well received, and you know, I have a video of it on my site if anyone sees it, on only in Bridgeport. But you know, I go because it's a great opportunity for me to see, you know, a whole bunch of politicians I don't have to just chase down. You know.
So wait a minute, when you get there, is this like when you're a high roller? Good evening, Mr. Grimaldi. It's such a pleasure to see you again. Is that, you know, kind of the intro you get there?
Sometimes I get that, and some people make prehistoric noises at me and walk away. Depends what I've written for the day.
That's true. Yeah, no, I know that. So, how do you think the speech went over?
He went well. Yeah, he did a really good job. The city is, you know, really adding a lot of bells and whistles. A video presentation about progress in the city, and that was basically his focus. You know, holding a line of taxes and a lot of the development that, you know, that's teed up. You know, Steel Point Harbor going vertical. They're doing a lot of work over there right now, and that's going to be transformational for the city. The housing over there, as well as the workforce housing, and Honey Locust Square on Stratford Avenue. That looks like that's going to be open in Stratford. A lot of the housing that's taking place in downtown and around the city. So it's kind of his focus was, you know, the city going vertical development wise.
And finally, this may be a headline of the year, paging cardiologists, the fascinating dynamics of state Senate race to replace Marilyn Moore. We're talking about the 22nd here. Everybody kind of thinking the Democratic nod may go to Bill Finch. Maybe yes, maybe no. Wondering what the Republicans are doing. So what's the latest skinny on this, Lenny?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I went to the state of the city. Just the last two people. And Bill Finch did attend. So you've got a fascinating dynamic. A couple of weeks ago, State Senator Marilyn Moore announced that she's not going to seek another 2-year term. And it kind of threw the thing wide open. People were not expecting the announcement to come so late. She made that announcement in the last day of the legislative session. So a lot of people have jumped in. And here's part of the dynamic. You've got basically four Bridgeport-centric candidates in here, and you've got a candidate from Trumbull. Again, this is arguably the most diverse district in the state of Connecticut. You've got one-third of Bridgeport, basically the north end, west side, and Black Rock. You got all of Trumbull and a piece of Southern Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
There was no endorsement. So they met last week to endorse the candidate. Nobody came away with the endorsement. And the Trumbull delegates pulled off a shrewd move. What they did was, you know, once they had enough support for their candidate, Sujata Gadkar Wilcox, who's a Quinnipiac University law professor,
mm-hmm.
they threw their delegates to all the Bridgeport-centric candidates so they could have this wide field of potentially Bridgeport candidates splitting up all that vote. Well, she would do well in Trumbull. So it's I haven't seen one of these in a long time, but I think it was a very deft move by the Trumbull politicians to make sure it was a wide field. So you have five people have qualified for the ballot. But you also have the best known by far in the field is former Mayor Bill Finch, who mm-hmm. occupied this from 2000 to 2007 prior to his election as mayor. So he's got a real shot at this thing, but also the way it's set up right now, so is the Trumbull candidate, Sujata Gadkar Wilcox. So, but right now, it looks like all five candidates are moving forward. Will someone drop out because they can't raise the money? You know, we'll see. But it looks like all five are right now determined to go forward with this primary, which would be August 13th. So it's not that far off. And the big question is, can they raise the public dollars to qualify for the state citizens mm-hmm. election program, publicly financed races? If they qualify, it's $110,000.
Not bad. Not bad.
That's not nothing. Yeah.
Do you think, and by the way, Lenny Grimaldi is the guest only in Bridgeport.com. Lenny, do you think that the state chairwoman on the Democratic side, Nancy DiNardo, or the Bridgeport chair, Mario Testa, do you think they have a preference here? And will that preference be made known either publicly or maybe not so publicly?
So Mario Testa was a delegate, and he issued his proxy on behalf of Bill Finch.
Okay.
So that tells you a little something. How much he will really weigh in, I'm not really sure yet. You know, the mayor Joe Gamm, still trying to figure it out if he's going to endorse somebody.
Mm.
But certainly, you know, Nancy DiNardo, who's the Democratic State Party Chair, you know, she's from Trumbull. The Trumbull candidate has run a couple of close state house races and came up short against the Republican. So I think the Trumbull political operation is going to do everything they can do to, you know, try to deliver her. But I think she's, you know, if she makes it, I think she's a good fit for the district.
Mm.
And if she's a woman of color, and, you know, she's learning Bridgeport. But, you know, if she, you know, a person who's going to be in there, I mean, it's so diverse. You have different needs in each town, right? So it's not an easy juggling act. You know, someone like her with her background as a law professor who's run a couple of times, likes public service, you know, she might be a fit if she gets in.
Interesting. We will watch. Lenny, have a great weekend. Lenny Grimaldi, the guest, only at Bridgeport.com, the blog. Lenny, relax on this long Memorial Day weekend, and we will chat with you next week. Thank you, sir.
All right. See you next week. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Lenny. Appreciate it. All right. There you go. We haven't spoken to this gentleman in a while. Like to check in with him once a month or so as he writes some wonderful columns, which you can read and digest and ponder over. ChrisPowellColumn.com. ChrisPowellColumn.com. He's just back from traveling the world. Mr. Powell, how are you, sir? How have you been?
I'm very good and very glad to be with you, Paul.
Great to hear from you, Chris. Boy, a bunch of things that you wrote about I want to ask you about. You wrote a column a couple of weeks ago on a guy that I enjoy reading from time to time, your references about him and your column and others, because some of this stuff is just so foolish. It writes itself. Chris Murphy, just sometimes Chris Powell, Mr. Murphy, go unlike Mr. Blumenthal, who kind of is what he is. You know, Senator Blumenthal's like that old dependable piece of furniture that is still there and you don't want to get rid of. But Chris Murphy sometimes goes on these, I don't know, ideological benders that make me laugh or cry or both.
Yeah, I picked up on a couple of paragraphs in the speech he gave to the Democratic State Convention accepting renomination for another term in the Senate. What he said just struck me as just as demagogic as anything that you'd expect to be coming from Donald Trump. So I tried to rebut it. You know, I can I can read it back to you if you want, but you know, Murphy said that Trump wants to make Americans feel like we have something to fear from immigrants or trans kids or Muslims or college students. We believe as Democrats that America's strength is our diversity and that everyone belongs here. Well, that was to suggest that there's no real immigration issue or there's no real
nothing's
issue
wrong
about
nothing's wrong, Chris. Nothing's wrong.
Or there's no issue about Muslims chanting "Death to America" in Michigan, or you know, college students really protesting against Israel's self-defense. Are there really no legitimate issues there, as Senator Murphy suggested? No, there's not. And Murphy said that Trump wants to turn us against each other. Well, the Democratic Party isn't turning us against each other as well. That the partisanship and hate are not coming out of both parties, equally. I just thought that this was quite demagogic of Murphy. And this week, he said something on Twitter. He was criticizing Trump for pandering to the National Rifle Association and saying that he wants to, if he's elected
kids,
president, he'll repeal all the recent gun laws. Well, Murphy says on Twitter, or X now, he says, quote, "Trump's goal is to kill more kids in order to make more profits for the gun industry, plain and simple." Well, you know, if Trump said that Murphy supports the Women's Health Protection Act, which would federalize late-term abortions. If Trump said that Murphy supports that proposal, just so that he can kill more viable fetuses and make more money for Planned Parenthood, wouldn't everybody say, "Hey, that's going too far. That's demagogic." But you know, Murphy says, "Oh, Trump wants to kill kids," and he gets away with it.
Yeah, and Chris, Murphy and his ilk, but he seems to lead the charge here. You know, it's always the NRA and long guns and the Republicans. Chris, nary do we get a peep out of these people when it comes to urban violence here in Bridgeport, Hartford, and New Haven, largely foisted around young African-American and Hispanic young men and women with handguns. They're oddly quiet about that, aren't they?
Well, yes, because if we discussed that problem, we would have to acknowledge eventually the failure of our poverty and urban policy that we don't address. I think it all comes down to child neglect and the welfare system, which deprives so many young people of fathers in the home. But I don't think that gun control is the problem. The problem is we have tens of thousands of repeat offenders guilty of gun crime that we will not imprison, and we've got millions of kids growing up without fathers. The gun law problem is really very subsidiary to all that.
Chris Powell Column is the website. Go read Chris Powell's pieces, chrispowellcolumn.com. Chris Powell is the guest for a few more minutes, as we like to have him around at least once a month. Chris, I see your head was cracking, writing, as I was, my head was cracking on the air, about the shenanigans that went on here late in the just concluded legislative session regarding a fund whose name changed in about 2 or 3 days, but the idea here was to pay striking private sector workers some sort of strike benefits.
Yeah, the State Labor Council's big objective this year was unemployment compensation for strikers. The governor was skeptical about that. But at the last minute, the Democrats in the House put through a bill that was very mysterious. It appropriated $3 million for the state controller to spend to help poor and working families. But it didn't say how or why. When the bill came to the Senate, a couple of Republican senators questioned the chair of the Labor Committee, Senator Julie Kushner, who was bringing the bill out to the Senate, and they asked her, "What's this about?" And Senator Kushner repeatedly refused to explain what is this $3 million to help working families about. Well, eventually the Connecticut Mirror got House Speaker Matt Ritter to say, oh, yes, this is supposed to be money that we'll use as a pilot program for unemployment compensation for strikers. You know, that this is a legitimate issue, but it ought to be treated as a legitimate issue. If you want to put a bill in that's going to profoundly change public policy and appropriate $3 million to do it, how dare you try to accomplish this in secret? Senator Kushner and really all the other Democrats in the Senate went along with her. We're saying, look, we're going to change public policy. We're going to pass legislation. We're going to, you know, attribute $3 million to it, and we're not going to tell you what it's about. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is totalitarian. None of those people who participated in this racket should be reelected.
And Chris, finally, it is these kinds of people who you and I hear from all the time. Well, it's so sad, Chris. Why don't people vote? We can't get them to register to vote. Why is turnout so low? Well, look in the mirror. I mean, it's this sort of stuff, Chris. You probably hear from people in your circles. I hear from people who call me on the phone lines here. They throw their hands up and they do. Chris, there's a lack of trust. And that's why people are alienated from the process, exactly with what we saw in the closing days of the legislative session.
Yeah, well, we're losing our democracy if the majority party in the legislature dares to do stuff like this, secret legislation. I mean, this is totalitarian. I don't know how these people can show themselves in public. It's a betrayal of their office. Secret legislation. We're going to pass this bill giving the comptroller $3 million to spend, and we're not going to tell you why. I mean, well, they weren't going to tell us why, because they didn't want us to know what they were doing. This is not democracy. That's totalitarianism.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks for keeping a spotlight on this and other issues. Folks, go read the columns. You'll enjoy them. ChrisPowellColumn.com. ChrisPowellColumn.com. Chris, we will talk with you in a few weeks. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Appreciate it. Yeah, folks. I mean, Chris is right.